all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Monday. Welcome to the state of Wisconsin Sense from the rainy shores of Lake Wissota, where that rain is beautiful. It makes it a beautiful day up north on this August 14th, 2023. Nice to have you along. 62 degrees up here in Chippewa Falls on our home base, 93.5 The Tap. Folks listening to the Shaw in the Waukesha, Milwaukee area, you're at 63 degrees. Listeners to the Eagle in La Crosse, it's 67 there. 66 in Oshkosh, 62 in Baraboo. Here's what's on tap this morning. Ron Johnson. I know, I should probably just leave it at that. And I keep saying we're going to kind of ignore him, but we shouldn't. There's always a point where you go, you can't ignore this. You have to let people know when your U.S. senator is claiming that the COVID pandemic was pre-planned by an unnamed group of elites or something like that. We'll play a very tiny audio clip just so you know what's out there. We'll have Sherita Booker along to review the most clicked on stories all across our social media sites. We'll visit with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll visit with Selena Heller, who, you know, everybody's familiar with the demolition derby with the cars. How about for farm machinery? Well, in Selena's hometown, the county fair there, their biggest crowd draw is the Combine Demolition Derby. Yeah, farm combines. We'll talk about that. Also, she did a story on a floating circus that goes down the Mississippi River. And Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has three things to know to start the week. And so the week, ready or not, is underway. I might emphasize the not here. You know, it's one of those Monday mornings where you go, did I finish this? Did I do that? Poor Mr. Zommers. I'm guessing it was like a comedy when he comes around the corner and finds his way to work is blocked by, was it a construction crane there, Aaron, that you were dealing with?
Yes, there was a construction crane at the ripe hour of like 5:35, 5:40 in the morning, sitting and turning around in the street for 10 minutes.
Look, I've got a railroad crossing near here, so I totally get that that can happen at the worst possible time.
It's dark outside. Come on.
I know. And you know, so what are the odds? And of course, it happens on a Monday morning when we're all rushing to get in and get things set up for the work week. But look, we are here, so you're safe. And whatever that crane is going to be used for, I hope they have a productive day, despite the dark and the rain.
Yeah, I hope so too.
You know? Back to the rain. I mean, it is, I don't know that people have been this happy to have a rainy Monday in quite some time. Because again, it kind of lingered. Remember last week we had some rain that kind of lingered. And we were right on the edge of it here in western Wisconsin. And it, for some of us, it never quite got there. Well, we're watching this blob very slowly come across Minnesota yesterday. And you could just see everybody with their fingers out, you know, doing that, come on, you know, sign. And it finally got here about, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And it's just a nice, slow, steady rain, which is that, just what you need after a very drought-like summer in many places across Wisconsin. So we are very happy to see the rain, at least on this Monday. Hopefully nobody's weekend plans were dampened too much. There was quite the storm that came through Friday evening, a thunderstorm that brought some heavy winds with it. We were in La Crosse at the time visiting friends, and so we didn't get the brunt of it in La Crosse, but our house sure did up here in Chippewa Falls. It kind of came from the north-northwest, and our north face of the house is what faces the river and Lake Wissota here. And there clearly must have been quite a blast of wind that came with it. Because, I mean, I think it's a Yiddish word, and I don't really consider myself Yiddish, but we use the word schmutz a lot. There was all kinds of, we're getting this schmutz off the house. Little bits of leaves and, you know, other vegetation that was just, looked like, a buckshot had been just blasted the house with all of these little things. So we had to sweep it off and blow it off and get all the junk off of the patios and things like that. couple of limbs came down, nothing of any substantial size. Hopefully things weren't too bad in your neck of the woods, because again, we're not looking for wind damage. I mean, it was such that I had to, I'm very thankful that my dock out on the lake there has, you know, several wooden sections, and I always, you know, tie them down kind of with these zip tie things. And I'm glad I did, because the wind, you know, snapped a couple of them and blew the sections up on the dock. Thankfully, none of them floated away. But it looked like the boat was pushed forward a little bit. But again, not a lot of damage, thankfully. And hopefully, you know, enough rain here that we're going to salvage the crops that are growing all around parts of Wisconsin. At least that's our goal here. So we'll, I think, if memory serves, Dr. Lyerly, didn't she say last week she was going to be camping this week, early this week, someplace around here? So if I know she's been out of town, if she calls in this morning, we'll find out if that's the case, because again, you can love the rain, but you don't have to love camping in it. You have to have some amazing gear if you do. But if that's the kind of hardy soul she is, then fine. We'll bring that on. We'll keep her around for some conversation. We'll find out what's in hometown health later this week. And of course, we'll do our regular daily history lesson and music break, and so much more coming up on this Monday morning here on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Thanks for being here wherever you're listening around Wisconsin on this nice Monday. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back. Carlos Santana, don't you dare change your evil ways. Of course, we're talking about the new Milwaukee Brewers acquisition, not the legendary guitarist, but still, our Carlos Santana hit a three-run homer, and Freddie Peralta pitched six scoreless innings to help the Brewers beat the White Sox 7-3 on Sunday and complete a three-game sweep. Christian Yelich added a two-run single for Milwaukee, which pushed its National League Central Division lead to 3.5 games. After the Cubs fell in Toronto. The sweep over the Sox was Milwaukee's first against the Southsiders since the start of the 1986 season. The Chicago trip was the beginning of a long road trip that now takes them out west, then off day today, then three night games against the LA Dodgers Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they head down to Texas for three against the Rangers this weekend. So with the Dodgers and Rangers both doing fairly well this year, it was good to get that sweep in Chicago, rack up those wins on the road where you can. Again, those will be late games after 9 p.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Listeners to Civic Media stations in the Fox Valley and Richland Center can hear those games. Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3, 1100 a.m. And news from the Center and Richland Center, 107.7 and 1450 a.m. Here now is Sherita Booker, Social Media Manager for Up North News. You can find all of her posts and the work that she does on behalf of all of us here by going to Up North News WI on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Sherita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. I know a lot of people are starting to bemoan the fact that the calendar is ticking away here and we're into mid-August and I guess Christmas will be here next week. But no, it won't, folks. There's still time to do summery things. And as we look at some of the posts that have been, you know, clicked on and viewed and read, first one is about the classic summer activity, the drive-in movie.
Yes. So we had a map of 6 Wisconsin drive-ins to add to your summer bucket list. Turn that into a map. And some of those driveways or drive-ins include Skyway Drive-In Theater in Fish Creek, Big Sky Twin Drive in the Dells, the Milky Way Downtown in Franklin. And that map had over 1,300 shares and almost 300 comments. And Nancy Watson.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go ahead. What's those comments? Tell me about them.
Nancy Larkin commented, if this is for real, I'm going to have to make a trip back home just to go to one. So yes, Nancy, this is for real. Come on back home. There were also many comments where people said, what about Highway 18 Theater in Jefferson and Moonlight Drive in Shawnee? So many comments. So
I was
must
gonna
be a fan favorite.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is the Highway 18 one. Apparently that one is very well regarded based on that. And then I see other comments like, you know, people calling out each other going, hey, can we do this? You know, can we go to this one in Franklin, or, you know, add this one to my bucket list? So, you know, once again, when we give people just a little nudge on where you could find something, they come up with even more ideas and they start filling in their calendar. But how about for a nice Milwaukee girl like you? Any drive-in theaters close, or ones that you've been to?
Franklin is the closest one to me, but uh-huh. I have never been to one, and I feel ashamed.
Oh, no. I mean, it's Wisconsin. Yeah, put that on your list for eventually getting over to Franklin.
I definitely will.
All right, let's turn ahead to our next story. Again, a lot of comments, a lot of clicks. You know, some of them are lighthearted, but this one much more on the serious side, noting that as we continue to discover more about the Trump administration and what was going on in the aftermath of the 2020 election, you know, things could have gotten really ugly. And I think this latest story just showed us how close we came to even more chaos in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so Jeffrey Clark, a top Justice Department official under Trump, was prepared to use the Insurrection Act of 1807 to deploy the U.S. military and stop any public protest that might have happened if Trump stayed in office after the 2020 election. So this evidence was found in Trump's indictment, where he was charged with conspiracy to defraud the United States for trying to overturn the election. That post had over 700 likes and comments. FaustDB19 commented, lock him up. Annie Lou Joy commented, yep, people read the indictment.
Yeah, and there, of course, there's always Trump defenders on theirs too, as is everybody's yeah. right. But I think the one comment you just said is the best one. Read the indictment. If you are a Trump supporter, and you certainly have every right to be, but read it before you dismiss it. And, you know, then let's talk about what's in it, what's been discovered. Again, not by any of Trump's enemies, not by Democrats, but by the people who were close to Trump at the time. All right, let's go lighter again. And in a way, we're going back to the Barbie movie, but not exactly, but, you know, in color, if nothing else, as we passed along a couple of cool photos from somebody out there.
So a roseate spoonbill was spotted in Wisconsin for the first time in 178 years. The burn was seen around Green Bay, and people gathered to take photos, and it was like, it's like a pinkish bird. It looks kind of similar to a flamingo, but smaller. And it has like a long extended beak. So that post got over 500 likes and shares on Instagram and Facebook. So people were really interested in that. Holly Johnson commented and said, I hope he knows how to get home soon. And Queen Love 80 said, it looks like a part flamingo to me. To me too, Queen Love.
Yeah. It looks like something, yeah, that you would have seen Barbie pass by in the movie or something. But again, it just goes to show you never know what you're going to find here. We are right on a migratory path for all kinds of birds. And, you know, big thanks to the folks out there who are heads up taking pictures and allowing folks like us to get those posted on our social media sites. So if you have interesting photos or story ideas, things that would make a good map graphic about things to do in Wisconsin, you've got ways to reach us. Head over to the social media sites, put down some comments, send us an email, and Sherita Booker is certainly part of the team that's going to put all that together. Sherita, thanks for kicking off our week. Have a wonderful day.
You too, Pat. Thanks.
All right. And more about Up North News, not just the stories that you find on social media, but also the daily newsletter that you can sign up for. Christina Laurie will tell us more tomorrow morning at 6:30 about things that she's working on in the future. But to let you know today, if you were a subscriber to the newsletter, you'd also learn about how there could be folks getting a new area code in parts of South Central Wisconsin. She also has my story in there about things that we're watching for this week, including that major overhaul of liquor laws in Wisconsin. It goes before a legislative committee this week, and we'll kind of do a reset on the debt ceiling fight in Congress, because, you know, that never truly got resolved. It was basically putting the pin back in the grenade, and now come the negotiations for a new budget and the potential for a government shutdown. this fall looming out there. So that and much more in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. But back to the here and now of Up North News Radio. Our studio number is 844-967-2789. If you'd like to join us for any of the subjects we're discussing today or switch gears on us, you can email us as well, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's get Ron Johnson out of the way. He went on another one of his fear-mongering, laced with falsehood rants on Friday morning, telling Maria Bartiromo, a fellow cultist at Fox News on COVID conspiracies, that COVID was pre-planned by unnamed elites with the goal of taking away human rights. Let's listen to just about a 30-second snippet of this 2.5-minute unhinged rant.
We are going down a very dangerous path, but as a path is being laid out and planned by an elite group of people that want to take total control over our lives. And that's what they're doing bit by bit. They do it by increasing massive government spending, increasing the size of government, takeover of the WHO, and they really risk taking away all of our sovereignty. People have to awaken to the dangers of the moment. This is all pre-planned by an elite group of people. That's what I'm talking about. We're up against a very powerful group of people here, Maria.
Just always about the powerful group of people, the powerful group of people that are against us. Ron Johnson is the powerful group of people. He's one of the wealthiest men that represents a group of Americans in the United States Congress. As a U.S. senator, as one of the wealthiest senators, he is as elite as it gets. He has power, he has responsibility, and he chooses to use that responsibility to continue to lie, as he did later in that rant about the COVID vaccine, and then to say that everything that has come since has been pre-planned about taking away human rights. Keep in mind, he never mentioned a single person who's in this shadowy elite group that has this amazing influence over the nation. He suggests no motive for wanting to take control of our lives and our freedoms, but he says they're accomplishing it bit by bit through massive government spending and increasing the size of government and taking over the World Health Organization. When others could quite rightly argue the responsibility of government working on behalf of all of us is to help us in times of crisis, like a global pandemic, like something that has killed more than 1 million Americans and cratered the economy for a time. So, of course, there was massive government spending. The alternative to that is mass poverty, that the economy doesn't recover or recovers far more slowly. Is that what Ron Johnson wanted? Did Ron Johnson want a much slower recovery? It would make sense that more people would then suffer and have to take whatever kind of work they can get, because that's exactly what we saw from Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature during this past week when they worked on yet another bill to punish people who are unemployed and restrict how much they could get in unemployment benefits while they are in between jobs, you know, so they can keep paying the rent and feeding their kids and putting gas in the car. But apparently, Republicans in the legislature want you to just take the next job that comes up. No questions asked whether you could do better for pay, better for benefits, better for working conditions. You have no time to shop around. You take whatever this next job is, and that's it. That seems to be what Republicans there and Republicans in Congress want, because all they can do is continue to knock on people when they face circumstances where they are suddenly unemployed. This massive government spending Ron Johnson and Republicans talk about is nothing more than government using our tax dollars to take care of our own, rather than push that money from us up to higher income levels, which is what Ron Johnson has consistently supported, and it's what legislative Republicans have consistently supported. We could have had a bigger state income tax cut in this last legislative session, but legislative Republicans wanted more of your money being pushed up to higher income brackets. Governor Evers is asking them to come back this fall and try again. But again, in the name of what they consider, quote unquote, massive government spending, that's what it is if it goes to you, not if it goes to the people at the highest income brackets. So that's a look at what Ron Johnson and his state brethren have been up to over these past few days. Take a break here. More coming up right after this break, including about President Biden making a trip to Wisconsin tomorrow, doing a little bit of trolling ahead of the Republican debate in Milwaukee. We'll be back. You're up north. Okay, well, we've established that there's enough of a connection between here and I think Hibbing, Minnesota, to have her hear one of her favorite songs. So there you go, Kristen Wiley. Good morning.
I'd like to send that song out to my two Monday morning buds, Aaron and Pat. Good morning, gorgeous.
She's so full of it. Good Lord. Okay. You have had a busy few days here. I think last we saw you, social media-wise, you were somewhere in Wrigley Field cheering on one Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, my gosh. Bruce Springsteen is 74 years old, and he rocked that stage for 3.5 hours. The audience was getting tired because we were just like singing and dancing, and the audience is old, you know, so we were all getting, wanting to sit, and he just kept going and going. It was really, it was just a beautiful thing. And we were at Wrigley. I'd never been to Wrigley Field before.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you found the better way to see it, you know, rather than having to watch the Cubs play baseball. So good on you. But I think the neighborhood's still pretty nice. There's quite a few watering holes around there and, you know, people in a good mood.
Quite a few. It was a little chaotic the way that they had it fenced off, which is apparently not the way it normally is. So it just didn't have that same kind of baseball vibe. I really would like to go to a Brewers game there.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah, it gets a little crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we could definitely do that for you. All right. So you enjoyed the concert. Where does one, when you're at Wrigley, seeing something like that? I mean, is it like an hour and a half to get to wherever your hotel is or things like that? It just got to be crazy traffic.
Oh, Pat.
Oh, wow.
We biked there.
Of course you biked there. Of course you did. Okay.
We biked from the northern part of Lakeshore Drive, and we just wove in and out of traffic. We went straight up to Wrigley, locked our bikes up, walked right in. It was fantastic. We do this at the Packer games, too. If you've got wheels, just get there.
Yeah, the Packer game, that makes sense. But, you know, we're talking late night Chicago traffic after more than a couple of people have been imbibing. That sounds like, you know, watching a clip from the French Connection or something with the weaving in and out under the elevated tracks, you know?
Yeah, we did some of that. But we had lights on our bikes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were smart. People aren't moving super fast. It's not like freeway speeds. So you just have to take it easy. There are lots of folks out. And, you know, you just have to be smart.
Okay. Well, good. Well, then from there, you managed to get up to North.
Oh, Pat froze.
Yeah, uh-oh. It sounds like he's coming. Oh, there we go.
Oh, here you go. Boy, so now I'm the one with the internet woes.
See, this affects us all of us who are in rural areas.
Could we please get the broadband done faster? Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, you found yourself up in northern Minnesota. And if you don't follow Kristen's social media account, it's called Kristen for Wisconsin. And she spells it K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Kristen for Wisconsin. And I think that's the most recent picture I saw up there was the hospital where you were working at. The window is facing just the right way to the east to catch rainbows, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a beautiful rainbow the other day, and I delivered a rainbow baby. And do you know what a rainbow baby is?
No, what?
It's not a member of the LGBTQIA community, at least as far as we know. Mm-hmm. But a rainbow baby is a baby that comes after a loss. So rainbow babies are often fraught with frustration and fear. And there are just so many emotions that go into pregnancy anyway. But when you've experienced a loss and then you have a subsequent baby, it's just a really special and unique event. So, you know, to have a rainbow baby while a rainbow is in the sky was really special.
That is nice. Yeah. And it, again, underscores something you've talked about. And that is that so many times when a pregnancy needs to be terminated, it's because there's something tragic going on about a wanted pregnancy. And I'm going to be doing an interview on a Chicago radio station later today, where we're going to be talking about that and how that Dane County judge, you know, ruled, I think rightly, in this motions hearing, that this 1849 statute is not about abortion as we think of it, but rather as feticide. And then since you and I talked last, Attorney General Josh Call has put up a motion asking the judge to basically say, we don't need any more oral arguments. Let's just go ahead and finish this thing. Since we have a pretty good feeling how you're going to rule on this, I would imagine you would like to see this advance along now.
It would be so great to restore access to fundamental health care for women in Wisconsin. And that's what this judgment would do. So we saw it come out of Dane County Court. As you said, Pat, this law applies to feticide, not consensual abortion. And if everyone agrees, then we'll be able to restore access to, you know, comprehensive reproductive health care in Wisconsin, exactly what people need and deserve. And it's a step in the right direction. It's not the answer. It's a step in the right direction because we've got so much work to do on health care. Can I get a hallelujah from the crowd?
Hallelujah. And may I add, this is far from a done deal, as you will still have some of the same members of Congress who said it should be a state-by-state issue, states' rights. They're the same ones now pushing for a national abortion ban. Now, obviously, it's not going to, you know, pass while Joe Biden is sitting in the White House, but the point being, they're not going to stop trying, however this particular case, you know, ends.
But Hunter Biden.
But Hunter Biden. Okay.
I just want to just lobby.
Thanks for triggering. Thanks for triggering me. Here comes the media rant. Oh, here comes the media rant. And I'm going to start by picking on Chuck Todd, but it could just as easily be so many other people in the media who just love that they have something to both sides now. You know, that, oh, Hunter Biden. So we can talk about Trump's thing and we can talk about Hunter Biden, which is the difference between vehicular homicide and a parking ticket. And yet you're going to talk about both cases the same way. Like, oh, this is really going to be trouble. No, it's really not trouble. If Hunter Biden broke the law, he should be punished. End of story. When are folks going to say the same thing about Donald Trump? That's all I want to know. When are you going to say the same thing, that once it's proven, because I assume it will be proven, but you go and say if it's proven he broke the law, he should be punished. Why is that so hard to get that out of some people's mouths, Kristen?
Because we have people like Senator Ron Johnson who are continuing to push this false agenda and use it as a distractor. You know, they can't get down to business. They can't do the work of the people. They can't solve problems because they just want to win.
Yeah. And so you've got a case now where, Trump is, you know, been warned by a couple of different judges not to say too much, not to do anything that would, you know, intimidate witnesses or taint the jury pool. And there he was again over the weekend, putting up things, including retweeting a post with false information about U.S. federal judge Tanya Chutkan, who's hearing this newest case about overturning the election. Now, some would say, you know, well, he's insulting the judge and he's insulting prosecutors. That's not the same as, you know, witness tampering. So they'll probably let it go. I know plenty of other people say, wait, that wouldn't happen for any of us. I'm pretty sure, Kristen, even if you told people that you had, you know, patients waiting in labor, I think if you insulted a judge on social media, you shouldn't be surprised if you're going to have to find somebody else to do your work because you're going to spend some time in the pokey.
It's exhausting and it's effective because people have been tired of all of these shenanigans. It's just, honestly, there's so much happening in the world right now. And there are so many other things that we could be doing that we could be working together to fix that. Frankly, Pat, I just don't even want to talk about Trump anymore. I just want to like pretend that he doesn't exist. And I think that that would be the thing that takes the air out of his balloon.
Oh, of course it would. And he knows that. He knows that if he can keep the outrage machine going. But you have to look at the real issues behind it, because, you know, we already had recently somebody in Utah who was shot and killed by the FBI after he was making threats about assassinating President Biden when he stopped there recently. And, you know, there's plenty of other people who hear Trump do these things. And, you know, again, they're saying, well, let's just wait. And, you know, if he undermines, like, you know, evidence in court, that's another matter. I would contend again, Kristen, while we're exhausted talking about him, I believe that he is inciting violence. This is a guy who on January 6th, when the Secret Service refused to take him back to the Capitol, he said, those are my people. They're not going to hurt me. In other words, he knew he had incited mob violence, and he has no problem inciting that now on social media. If God forbid, something tragic had happened in Utah last week while the president was visiting, don't think for a moment, you know, that Trump would be saying anything other than, well, I guess he had it coming, you know, or something like that. There is a demonstrable case that this guy should be allowed nowhere near social media because of the violence he can incite. But that, I mean, that's my opinion.
Yeah. What was it that Martin Luther King said? Martin Luther King Jr., the arc of justice is long, but it bends towards, I can't remember the end of it. I'm so bad at remembering things like this. It's in other words, it's going to take a while, but hopefully we are going to end up with the solution that needs to happen, which is Trump being held accountable for his ridiculous, horrible, harmful behavior.
I hope so. And I want to say as well, give credit to President Biden, who's basically response to all of this has been to return the trolling. The president is coming to Milwaukee tomorrow. And it's not that there's, you know, I mean, Wisconsin's a pivotal state and everything. But let's be honest, the reason he's coming to Milwaukee tomorrow is that the next week, all of the Republican presidential candidates will be there. And so why not get there ahead of time? And, you know, they're all going to want to try to say, oh, Bidenomics is bad. I like that he's embracing Bidenomics and saying, how about that $1 billion I just put into broadband expansion in Wisconsin?
I love it. The more we talk about the good things associated with Bidenomics, because, you know, let's be very honest, we have not experienced the recession that everybody was forewarning us about because of President Biden's smart fiscal policy. I mean, yeah, we're feeling it and inflation is happening, but it's so much better than what other countries are seeing right now.
Oh, yeah. And back to the presidential campaign, I have to say, our sister publication, Iowa Starting Line, covers all the presidential candidates and has for many years as they come in and get ready for the Iowa caucuses. Well, the Iowa State Fair was this past week, and Ty Rushing is an award-winning reporter for Iowa Starting Line. He's the president of the Iowa Association of Black Journalists. He's funny. He's whip smart. And he got kicked out of prevented from going into a Ron DeSantis event by armed deputies.
What?
Because DeSantis's people didn't want him in there. That's never happened to an Iowa Starting Line reporter. Every presidential candidate is like, yes, come in. I want to talk to everybody. Ron DeSantis is the first one that's been like shutting things off to the media and wanting only to talk to, you know, just the few people in the room that can give him money or something. That's a tough way to win a presidential race.
That's so weird. I mean, Ron DeSantis is usually so kind and accepting to black people.
Yes, of course he is. That gets us to the other topic of, thank you, Aaron, gets us to the topic of Ron DeSantis, you know, continually trying to end any honest teaching of Black American history in Florida. But that's not the only place that it's happening. Arkansas became the latest state over the weekend, just 2 days before the start of the school year, to make an announcement that they were canceling an advanced placement class that included, you know, a study of Black history and slavery and civil rights and things like that. You know, just the latest state to do this. And somebody on social media said quite rightly, I think this should be a bigger topic. This continued, essentially, you know, white nationalist, action that's being taken by Republicans at the state level. It should concern a lot more people.
It should. And it taps into racism and our real inability to deal with racism on a fundamental level across the country. But when these nodes pop up in these places, they become those hotspots where we have to address them, and we have to do it in a rational, logical, peaceful way.
So nice of Kristen to stick around and do some of the headlines with me. And we promise after this break here, we'll get back to some lighter topics, including how Dr. Lyerly's going from the dry comfort of a hotel room to a leaky, rainy tent for the for the rest of this Monday. We'll describe that and also do a whole lot of celebrity birthdays. That's all coming up right after this break as part of our daily history lesson. We'll be back here up north. That, of course, anybody you know, older than age 50 would know that that's Seals and Crofts. Dash Crofts was born on this day in 1940, 83 years ago. He, along with the Seals end of it, it was Dash Crofts and Jimmy Seals. Do you know who Jimmy Seals is from Seals and Crofts?
No.
Actually, let me put it this way. You know his brother, Dan Seals.
Oh, he also was a Yacht Rock guy.
Of England Dan. England
and John
Dan
Ford
John Ford
Coley.
Coley. The England Dan is Dan Seals, brother of Jimmy Seals of Seals and Crofts.
I did not know that, but that will never leave my head.
That, right. Just like that quote about the arc of the moral universe.
That leaves my head quickly.
Okay. But if we give you Duran Duran lyrics, you're good with that, right?
Forever. Okay. Stuck in there.
All right. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of birthdays here, so let's just rattle through these. Everybody who saw the movie Oppenheimer, I did it again, the Midwest Ope. Everybody who saw Oppenheimer, everybody who saw Oppenheimer should know that Frank Oppenheimer was born on this day in 1912. So that would have been, 111 years ago. He passed away in 1985. Of course, David Crosby, Crosby, Stills, Nash. He was born this day in 1941, but passed away earlier this year. Steve Martin is 78 years old today.
Wow.
Race car driver.
He's had white hair forever. Martin actually become a white-haired man?
I think always. I think he went from blonde to white immediately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Race car driver Rusty Wallace is 67. Actress Marcia Gay Harden, 64. Magic Johnson, basketball player, 64. Actress Halle Berry. How old do you think Halle Berry is?
She's 60.
No, 57. See, I thought you'd say 50 or something like that. But 57.
I'm trying to be realistic.
Okay, all right. And actress Mila Kunis, 40 years old today. So another one of those kids from the 70s show, mm-hmm. turning 40. All right, it's time for a... Lyerly Kreitlow classic, the number one song this day in 1965.
Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
Now, I don't have anything to say about the movie Groundhog Day. This is actually the song itself hit number one on the charts on this day in 1965.
You are the sunny to my share, Pat. Now,
that's it. Well, watch out for that tree. On this day in... 1935, President Franklin Roosevelt signed the Social Security Act, creating a government pension system for the retired. So Social Security has a birthday today, is what, 88 years old?
Boy, and that wasn't an easy act to get signed either. That was, you know, challenging from the beginning and for the first few years, certainly. But people sure love it now because it's a game changer.
Consistently undermined in its time and still under threat today from people like Ron Johnson who claim otherwise, but their actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
All right, finally, let's see. It was on this day in 1985. This one's about a business decision involving Michael Jackson, heard here singing with Paul McCartney.
Every night she walks right in my dreams since I met her from the start. I'm so proud I am the only one who is special in her heart. The girl is mine.
All right, before McCartney comes in, I'll tell you that 3 years after their duet, Paul McCartney had advised Michael Jackson that you should invest in publishing. Well, on this day, Jackson did and made a winning bid of $47.5 million for the rights to over 250 Lennon-McCartney Beatles songs. It was a great investment for Michael Jackson, but it killed their friendship. Go figure.
Yeah.
Awkward.
This song is kind of awkward, though. I mean, when you listen to the lyrics, like...
What, that they're fighting over a girl?
Yeah, the two of them fighting over a girl. It's just awkward.
Okay, I guess.
Maybe it's just the girl's perspective.
What's awkward is the bridge in the middle of it, the spoken part. Like, you know, I told you, Michael, she's my forever lover. And it's like...
It's
kind of cringeworthy. Yes, I admit. Okay, let's let that go then. So... You've talked about how much you like biking, you like camping, all these other outdoor activities. And you mentioned last week you were maybe going to be camping for the first part of this week. You sticking to that as I watch the rain continue to pitter-patter down outside my window here?
It's going to be a beautiful day in Hibbing, Minnesota, but not so great on Lake Wissota, sadly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we packed up the pop-up and we're taking it out to Lake Wissota, and we're going to just enjoy a few beautiful days. Tomorrow and Wednesday are going to be lovely.
So what I need to know about that then is if I look outside and notice my pontoon missing, it's simply been commandeered. It's been borrowed. And I just see like a kayak, because I could see you could clearly kayak from Lake Wissota State Park, you know, upriver a bit to my place. I could see you guys pulling that off. And I just see a kayak and, you know, the pontoon's gone. And maybe you leave me a six pack of something as payment. Or
we're bringing old fashions. We're going to beach and bring old fashions. That's the plan. Rent a canoe. Okay. Paddle over, get out, bring old fashioned. We'll be on your deck at like 4 o'clock.
Okay. It doesn't look like the rain is going to linger. It looks like you are going to be able to camp not in the rain. But as you know, there's an alternative campground in our guest room here. So if you and Craigers need the extra space, you know where to find us. But you've camped in the rain before, right?
Uh-huh. Oh, I've been camping my whole life. The pop-up is a giant upgrade from the canvas tent that I grew up with.
Ooh, really?
Remember this? Oh, yeah. I remember my parents saying, don't touch the sides. But there was no room not to touch the sides because we were little kids in a very small tent.
Oh, yeah. I could totally see that. Like, what's this? And you touch it and down comes the rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to trash campers. I'm just going to say I like dry. I like being in a nice cozy bed. It's just, you know, my idea of roughing it is that there's no concierge service in the hotel. You know?
I like contrast, because when you camp and you're roughing it and you're dirty and you're out there doing stuff, and then you go back home and you take that shower that feels so amazing and you get to climb back into your nice, clean, warm bed. It just makes you appreciate all of it.
So you're into depravity. You want to be... Depravity is what powers you. We just have to cut you off from something that you like, and then you enjoy it that much more when you finally get to have it again.
That's how I've been surviving in Wisconsin for the past 12 years.
Which takes us to Hometown Health, which I didn't get to have last week, and now I'm really looking forward to this week, now that you've, you know, deprived us of it. You're gonna be back Thursday for that?
I am. We're going to talk with Jeff Lutze up in Door County about some of the incredible things they are doing to combat climate change. And it is a game changer. I mean, it's from planting trees to building affordable housing. It's really cool stuff.
All right. That'll be Thursday morning at 7:30. So, yeah, we will look forward to that. And when we come back, more in our second hour, including, Kristen, you ever hear of a combine demolition derby?
I haven't.
Okay. Selena Heller is going to tell us what happens at the county fair in her hometown. That's coming up next. You're up north.
You know, don't you remember?
Well, after loving me, she said she couldn't love another.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, she said it. You keep dreaming.
I don't believe.